It's like living with a six-year-old.
I still go on play dates. I just call them play dates so I can go out with Eric and Paul and Adam.
You sound like his mom. He likes sport too. You guys would be such good friends.
I'll do all the technical aspects. Adam will be the face. Paul will be the muscle. And then Eric will be the sales guy.
We're screwed from the muscle.
Paul will be muscle and the troubadour.
I handed a jar to my son to open the other day, so we're in bad shape.
Hello, and welcome to the Forefathers Podcast.
I'm Paul.
I'm Adam.
This is we haven't done this in 3 weeks, guys. So it's
yeah, Bill. Sorry.
What's up, Roger?
Hey, Bill. Good night, John boy.
All right, Samuelson.
I'm Adam.
Why don't we just start that over again?
Paul? Yes, good idea.
Matus Magor.
Welcome to the Forefathers Podcast.
No.
Okay, this is off to a great start.
Capital punishment. This is what we're talking welcome about today. The Forefathers Podcast.
I'm Paul.
I'm Adam.
I'm Fife.
And I'm Eric. And this is a podcast about faith, fatherhood, friendship, and other F words like failure.
Just to communicate.
I'm actually not kidding. We're going to talk about education options for our kids today. And so this is going to be a debate because there's a lot of passion around this, right? But it's the end of our conversations about conflict and hard conversations. We have a lot of different paths, even in this podcast, in the people that are in this podcast, and our kids all have different paths as well. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. But before we break out into that conversation, we want to remind you that you can always be part of our community and jump into our Discord server where there's always some lively conversation going on or a random meme posted by Adam. And if this is your first time listening to the Forefathers, welcome. And please make sure you take a moment to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any of the recent episodes by heading over to forefatherspodcast.com or your player of choice. All right, so we did take some votes on what topic we should debate. This was a few episodes now because we kind of got sidetracked by a couple of things. And we were waiting to get all the votes tabulated. But we ended up wanting to talk about whether or not a college like what's the best way to get an education post high school?
Is the traditional route better or worse?
Say that again.
Is the traditional route better or worse, meaning going to secondary education or college or higher education?
Yeah, exactly. So guys, tell me, what is the best path?
Bus driver.
Wait, that's the education is the bus driver?
Become a plumber.
Get educated being a bus driver.
You can.
You know, to be truthfully honest, it's a good paying job these days. I mean, you know, nobody really wants to step up to be a bus driver, so you get paid pretty well in comparison to probably what they were 10 years ago.
Is that what you're going to do when you retire from owning your company?
Yeah. You ever see the, you know, parents, was it the Adam Sandler one where they, you know, he's driving his kids around on the bus and yeah, whatever. Bad example. I'll have to put that video.
My aunt is actually a school bus driver in the Denver area.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. She enjoyed doing it, I guess. Or
yeah,
she
does because it's like, you know, it's like most of the time it's like 3 or 4 hours a day. You know, you spend a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours in the afternoon. You get to know some kids. You're driving the same route most of the time. So there's kind of a routine to it. She likes it and she likes getting paid. So
yeah, cool. Keeps her busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, way back when I was starting the college, you know, route from graduating from high school, and that was what, 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
Was it longer? Whatever.
It was almost 30 years ago.
Okay, so you do the math.
Remember, we were talking about reunions. This is your 30th reunion.
Oh yeah.
There's a reason for that. So it was actually almost exactly like in a month, it'll be 30 years since you graduated high school.
I'll have to go take my liver pills to actually boost my memory.
liver pills don't boost your memory. They boost your liver.
I keep taking them. I get a thought out.
They're not helping your memory. Just saying.
Yeah, GBT stole my job.
I always never felt, for me personally, that the traditional route for college was really kind of the way I was ever sanctioned to go. I keep hearing music. I don't know. It's weird. Hold on a sec here. I've got echo playing in the background here. I got to stop it from my wife's computer. Apparently she's got. Apparently she's got her Bluetooth connected still to the Echo Dot, and it's playing her country music. And she's trying to probably up there in the bedroom trying to figure out why it's not playing on her phone. And I'm hearing it. So there you go.
That happens to me all the time. I take my cell phone, I drive away in my car, and I'm playing on Alexa at home. It's so annoying.
It's like you're listening to one of those football podcasts. I'm sure it's like, Eric. Yeah, so back to my thought was, I always felt that college was kind of, for me, always got in the way of what I wanted to do or what I wanted to experience or be a part of. And so I always was kind of encouraged and pushed towards, you know, the traditional, once you graduate from high school, you got to go to college. You know, if you can't do a traditional 4-year, go to, you know, the junior college to get up to the 4-year. And so I kind of went along with that, you know, begrudgingly. And, you know, my college career was very short lived because I just was not an exceptional student. And for me, it was always, I just wanted to be out in the world doing what I loved to do or wanted to do or experience, and was more about the school of hard knocks. And so I always swore to myself that I'd be a proponent of, you know, not forcing somebody to go the traditional route just because that's what everybody else was, you know, kind of toting as a line. And so when it came to becoming a parent and, you know, my kids getting to that level, I always, you know, stood the ground of, like, with my wife, I said, you know, our kids, if they choose to go the route, then that's their choice. It's not us saying, you know, you should go to the 4-year or us, you should go to, you know, this school because so-and-so in our family did this, or, you know, this has a good program, or you can do it to get a sports scholarship, you know? So my two kids, my older son, Cody, you know, he's not like me. He's not the, you know, the always the go-getter, willing to try anything, you know, big risk taker a lot. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, experiences and stuff like that, he likes to weigh his options, figure out what's going on, have, you know, a habit and focused, that it's a matter of him changing. Him in a traditional sense works perfectly good for him, but it's taken him a longer time to get to, you know, what he wants to do in college because he's still trying to mature and understand. So you throw both of those two things together and you really just get a, you know, a big soup of craziness, which can work out if you're great with it and you can finally figure it out and get the rhythm down. But for me, I was like, I'm done. You know, I'd rather go to do a traditional, you know, school of hard knocks, play, you know, in the spaces I want to play, learn as I kind of on the job training, and it's worked well for me. So I've always been, like I said, a proponent of pushing that for people and, you know, always giving that as an extra option to folks when they start thinking about that, you know, do I have to go to a traditional school and do traditional education?
Right. I get that.
And yeah, I so like saying, you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, 15 more times.
You know. So it's funny because I went to school. I went to college because my dad had a plan and I didn't. Right? Like, my dad always wanted all of us to be engineers. And it's really funny. 3 out of the 4 of us have an engineering degree. Only 1 out of the 4 of us is actually doing anything in engineering. And I didn't have a super good plan. And so my dad's like, okay, well, if you don't have a plan, then why don't you just go to college for chemical engineering? You like chemistry? You like math? Just go do it. And I didn't have a better idea. So I did it.
And you'll make a great alcoholic ice cream in the end.
It is delicious. And yes, that's true. But...
Well, you have to, I mean, show there's, for.
You know, the whole point of college, like, so I'm going to use the consultant answer here.
Uh-oh.
Should somebody go to college or should they go through the school of hard knocks or should they go through apprenticeship? I'm going to say it depends, right? And I'm going to say it depends because different kids have different things going on in their lives. They have different things they're good at. They have different things that they're, you know, and Heather and I, you know, we've talked about this for a long time, like, because it's one of those things where I still get a lot of pressure from my parents for my kids to go to school and for my kids to go to school for things that my parents think are important. So like Gracie didn't know what she was going to do. And so we sent her on a gap year. And when she got done with the gap year, she felt like she finally knew what her path was. She felt, you know, and honestly, she felt like God finally told her what she was supposed to do. And so she went to Moody College, Moody Bible Institute. And it's so funny because my dad's still like, well, what's she going to do with that degree? Like, you know, it's that constant conversation about like, what does that get you? Well, you know, Dad, like sometimes you do things because it's what you're excited about. Sometimes you do things because it's what God calls you to. And so for Gracie, she ended up going to school. Ben is in school. But so far in two semesters, he hasn't super taken it seriously yet. And, mm-hmm. and what I mean is he's completely capable of doing the work that they assign. He just doesn't do the work that they assign.
Sure.
You know, and so now that being said, he's really excited about transferring into UMass Lowell. He's really excited about becoming a mechanical engineer. And maybe part of the reason that he hasn't really engaged so far is because the classes have all been electives. You know, none of them are the things that he really wants to do. And because they're not in his wheelhouse, they're harder for him to do. They take more time than he expects. And he doesn't really plan. He hasn't, up to this point, he hasn't really planned very well for that. You know, but Heather, when she didn't go to college. She went to a certificate program for an operating room technician and she didn't, you know, and so you can get to, and some of the most successful people I know don't have college degrees. You know, I consider you a very successful guy. I consider Tim Larson a very successful guy. Neither of you guys have a college degree. So I don't feel like you have to have a college degree to get to whatever it is that God is calling you to get to whatever it is you're good at and whatever it is you can do well in life with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So interesting kind of spin on that. So let me throw the monkey wrench into that a little bit. So yeah, I agree 100% with that statement, but the other side
of
that's
good because you're one of my poster children.
Excellent. Oh, children. Excellent. Okay. The other side of the coin is that so traditionally there's no other, like, so as an employer, and I was looking for that next person to be the CEO of my company, as an example, you got to have some credentials per se. And, you know, and outside of the traditional jobs like doctor and those degrees that require that information to understand, you know, to be a good doctor and, you know, make sure I stay.
Right. There are some jobs that you can't, it would be very hard to do.
But
you wouldn't even be allowed to do without the degree.
True. Right. But I wouldn't consider a CEO of a company like, you know, if I looked at two people that said one was a, you know, had the school, you know, had the experience, but didn't have the MBA to boot, you know, versus the kid coming out of, you know, four years of traditional and then getting his master's and his MBA, you know, for me, that's like, you know, as a business owner, yes, that I have no other way to be able to, analyze or, you know, view that person outside of what they look like on paper based off the fact that a school has said that, you know, they have certified and passed, you know, so for, you know, A, B, and C because, you know, they've gone through this training. So you hope that translate comes out, you know, in the end, but it's a gamble. But the point is, you know, back to your, you know, wherever God's leading you, I feel like that's more of a, that one can be very versatile. I mean, you can be kind of like that jack of all trades, you know, kind of, you know, phrase that you know, kind of floats out there a bit, you know, because, you know, you don't feel like you have to be stuck to a traditional, you know, path or whatever that looks like. I think that for me is more beneficial and more exciting and, you know, offers a lot more opportunity than just, you know, hey, I get an MBA and now I'm a CEO.
Is that all I need to be a CEO, an MBA?
In this day and age for now, yeah, I would say so. I've run into a lot of MBAs that, you know, are CEOs now, and I look at their skill set and I'm like, dude, you're just following the, you know, the paper route. And again, that's my opinion, but, you know, I've been in the industry for 25 years and I look at a lot of CEOs going, yeah, that you're just doing the playbook. You know, you're not thinking outside the box a lot of times.
Yeah, that's sad because that's not necessarily...
It's not necessarily bad, but at the same time, it's also not, it's not personal experience because they don't have any. I mean, where do you get, you don't go to school to be a CEO per se. you go to school to learn how to be, you know, a master's in business, and hopefully that translates into something that, you know, is applicable in a position like a CEO. But
right. How about you, Paul? Adam, how do you guys feel about this?
Yeah, I guess if you know what you're going to, well, I don't want to say if you know what you really want, then go to college, because I still think there are some degrees out there that just you're better off not going to college and racking up $140,000.
Do it on Khan Academy.
or look at finding other ways to enhance your skills in that area. But I think you just now these days, you just got to be smart about what you want to do, you know, like gone are the days of like, oh, I'm just going to go and party. Like you can't do that anymore. Some do, but not at $140,000 a pop for 4 years.
Well, and that's a cheap school. Like,
yeah, I know.
UMass Lowell, if you stay on campus, it's like $40,000 a year. You're going to spend $160,000 on 4 years of school.
Yeah.
If you're a commuter, it's $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
So like now they have scholarships, they have loans and all that stuff, but man, it's a lot of money.
Yeah it's not. Yeah. And so being able to go to college for a career path that has a highly marketable skill set is definitely something to consider, like either a business degree. But then again, it's like you can get a business degree at a community college that will give you the same
school.
Yeah. Or an online school that will be at half the price, that will give you the opportunity to excel and be able to at least market yourself and build yourself. Cause it's tougher and tougher these days to even if you look at like IT, it's tougher and tougher to get into the market there without being.
Are you going to complain about all the young IT people that you hire that
get off
slammed into call centers that are basically doing tech support and not really getting out to the point of where, like, how do you consult from that standpoint learn consulting? You did, like, consulting is a dying skill. Like there's nothing out there that's really. I don't want to say it's a dying skill. It's a dying skill in IT if you're coming into the market. Unless you're able to fit yourself into a position where you're in front of people a lot and not behind a ticketing system, it's pretty tough to do. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I look at what my oldest daughter is doing, and so she wants to minor in biblical studies and major in business administration. So she's looking at a few schools, but then she's also taking into consideration potentially looking at some local community colleges to be able to do that based upon funds is really what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
So, but, Adam, question for you. So what, when you graduated from UMass Lowell, what'd you graduate with?
I graduated with a minor.
Not a track letter.
I wasn't going to
I graduated with a minor in business administration and a major in management information systems.
So here's a question. Do you, any of that information that you learned and gleaned over the 4 years, do you think you've ever used in a...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I did use it. Yeah, did use it, especially in my consulting services and being able to speak and talk and present.
Yeah.
So
I feel like in some majors, in most majors actually, even in chemical engineering, really what the college you go to is trying to teach you is how to think and how to approach problems and how to presentation.
Which is so mind-boggling. When you say that out loud.
You'd be surprised how many people can't do it.
You would be amazed.
That is just where is a society? Have we broken down that whole process to not teach people how to be able to think in their own? You know,
because we gave everybody a trophy. That's why.
True.
Several years ago.
But at the same time, our generation, you know, we had to kind of learn, but it was only because of, we were thrown into the fact that there was nobody there to teach us anyway. And we were just like, okay, well, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
your parents were there and you had teachers, dude. Like, your mom was around. Like, it's not like you were a latchkey kid. I know we're Jet X,
No, trust me. I was that. Come on, I'm trying to play up.
You wish you were a latchkey kid, but you weren't.
I know.
There were points in my career where it was, well, that's a new technology. Wow, that's pretty neat. Go figure it out. Tell me how it works. Don't screw it up.
That's like my entire job now, Adam. That's like all I do all day.
How's that going?
For who, Eric or me?
The village is on fire.
I actually love it. It's the thing that I enjoy the most anyway in the IT job that I've had is developing, designing, architecting, and implementing. So, I mean, I love that. But I will tell you, you know, it's funny, Fife, you were talking about marketable skills. Like, there are things that I look for on a resume. I will tell you, when I look at a resume, if it's more than 2 pages, I throw it away. I don't even look at it.
Sure.
Like, little things like that. If you can't summarize, I just don't have time. I just don't have time.
That's right. Odd.
But when I interview somebody, and I think we talked about this a few episodes ago or something, but when I interview somebody, there are skills that I'm looking for, and almost none of them are, do you know the technology I'm talking about?
Oh, no.
I want you to understand it, but I'm really looking at can you communicate? Because in most of the jobs that I have, I can't hire trolls. I need people that can actually talk to other people. I don't care how good in most of the things that I'm hiring for, I don't care how good you are technically. If you can't talk to other people, it doesn't help me. That doesn't mean you're not valuable. It just doesn't help me in the jobs that I'm doing. Can you troubleshoot a problem? And will you push through the problem even when it's hard? And what is your approach to troubleshooting that problem? Where are you looking? What are you trying to do?
None of that's technical at all.
Well, I mean, you're right. That's just real life stuff.
I know.
But here's where the technical knowledge and experience comes in, right? Like, you have to even know that there's a log file to look at. You have to know how to find that log file. Like, there are things that you're looking, like I'm looking for, that are general understandings of the technologies. And if they've done it a few times, that's nice too. And you were talking about like marketable skills. Like, the thing that I'm always looking for there is, I feel like experience is so much more valuable than education anyway. Now, that being said, if I don't have a degree, getting that first job can be very challenging.
Yeah.
But once I have that, go ahead.
What was that? Or some sort of degree, not even just a degree. I mean, it's not about some jobs are about prestigious schools, but it's really about the higher education piece. It gives you the ability to show that you can understand concepts. You can move forward in real semi real world practices.
Oh, so let me ask a question then. Would you say experience is about as equal to the traditional paper form of, you know, education?
Depends on the field.
Let's just say we're talking in
and it depends how far you're getting. Like, I think that the key thing that Eric said, the thing that I was thinking is that first job. Like, I almost feel like what I was told is that the reason you get the bachelor's degree is because the interviewer wants to see that this person finishes something.
Yeah,
they were able to complete this thing. Like, even if it's chemical engineering or like it had nothing to do with it, like at least they were able to go through, complete 4 years, you know, be tied enough to something that I'm going to finish this and get this degree. After that, like, I feel like it's all about experience. I mean, you know, and less about degrees. It's like there's one, you know, like your SAT score matters for like 5 minutes ish in your life. And then at some point, like, nobody ever asked you. It's just that kind of thing where, like, getting into college, it's like, oh, what's your SAT score? What's your GPA? But when you're writing your resume for the first job, they don't give a crap what your GPA was or what your, I mean, I guess it depends on the school, but generally speaking, like, they're not like, oh,
yeah, they're really just looking, oh, wow, you have education. You have, you have the ability to conceptually learn things.
But so let me ask a question. Some sort of
higher skill set. What?
Let me ask a question. So between Eric and Paul, where you guys are probably like, you know, you do a lot of hiring of, you know, for your teams and stuff like that. And we brought this up in the last, you know, 20 questions episode. And that was actually a question Paul has presented was, is that, would you take someone over more experienced than someone who was actually like formally educated in a, you know, master's degree, you know, and the conversation, I don't think we really answered the question, but like,
well, no, cause they're not under, but the question was, do you want somebody that fits in with the culture, but they don't have the skill set? Or somebody that has the skill set, but they don't fit in the culture. Because what I, you know, I have, just to be clear, I'm a team lead. I have two people under me. So I have very little experience like hiring and interviewing and stuff. And it, like very even little, even less. So like Eric certainly has more than I do. And so I was certainly leaning in the area of hiring somebody that was more, that was a better fit. But then he mentioned it depends on what the team needs. Like if the team needs somebody that, even though they may be a little bit curmudgeonly and they won't fit in, like maybe they're that foremost expert that I found on this thing that I have a huge gap for. Maybe I pull them in and we just hope that the culture, you know, kind of works itself out.
I mean, ultimately you want to find that balance, but
yeah.
And in many aspects, well, even in a lot of corporations now, culture is that important versus I would say culture usually always takes a back seat to profitability and being able to speak to the client and keep your client base. Like,
well, yeah, but the reason people like to go work at places like Google is because of the culture and the money.
Yeah.
There's a reality there.
Maybe I'm just different. Leave me alone. You can generate a pretty
good culture.
just reward me and give me more money for the things I do, and then at a certain point, don't talk to me.
but Fife, to your question, like, that's one of the things I've been telling Jonathan. So Jonathan will probably take a gap year. He has no idea what he wants to do. He hasn't been out there yet. He needs to go do some hands-on stuff. Like he just. Him in a classroom just isn't copacetic. So, but what I've been telling him is like, you need to get a degree because your resume is going to go up against other people that have degrees and they're just, if you don't have a degree, they're just going to throw it out. And I don't think we can say that you don't need a degree until the people that are interviewing say, oh, you know what? I don't really care. And I don't think we're there yet. I feel like, and again, to me, that's just the intro job or the intro jobs, maybe. Like right. At some point, like, I think the experience is right there because you have other stuff to fill up in your resume. Oh, yeah, I know this technology, and I know that technology, and I know the cloud, yada, yada, yada. But like, and again, I want to caveat this too, because I feel like we're all looking at it from an IT perspective, and I'm sure there's other perspectives in other fields of work that are way different, like even apart from the doctor and lawyer and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like someone who has an art degree, you'd want them to make sure they have an art degree to understand like art in general versus like someone who has, I draw on paper.
But even that, like they'll have a portfolio. They'll be like, well, this is the stuff that I've drawn, and that'll expand as they draw more things and they sell more things and the such. But at the beginning, it's like, yeah, here's where I went to school. And
I kind of cite this like odd example. So if we just dart away from IT, so say someone who's like a chef, like, and again, I don't know all of the inner workings of being a chef and how you get to that elite level, but you know, in essence, you start out like in the you know, the trenches doing all of the stuff that you don't want to do to build up to a point in a place. That's kind of how I always looked at life is like, okay, if I was going into a job, you know, I knew I couldn't be at the, you know, the $90,000 to $100,000 a year level when I first got out of college. And I think that's, you know, traditionally a really bad way of
thinking. Now you can do that at Chipotle.
True.
Well, that's the problem. Like people, especially people today, they're like, oh yeah, I had one instance where I had a friend who was actually hiring and it was in the science field, and they had a budget between the budget was 70 to 90,000, and so it was a specialized piece of work. Guy they interviewed, really good, really just out of college, so no real world experience, but kind of knew the processes, and the specialized field really didn't need a lot of history or experience, but because it was a certain process and whatnot. But the guy turned out really well, loved the personality. They were like, well, let me this candidate's really good. I'm going to give him the higher percentage, the 90,000, because he's worth it. He's worth from the college he went to and whatnot. Kid came back and said, yeah, I don't think so. Counter offered 170,000 he wanted.
Oh my. Sure.
my friend's president took the resume, ripped it up, and said, I don't really want to talk to this person ever again.
Wow.
Like, the arrogance of some of these people coming out of college, because they're like, I owe like 190,000 in college student loans. Like, I can't make anything under. It's like,
yeah,
it's crazy. It's like, you need to start somewhere. So,
and Eric Fife, to your example, I mean, I think that's the best example of the formal school. So they go to formal school to learn, this is how I cook this, and this is how I cut, and this is how I, you know, all the, you know, julienne and slice and make, you know, and then they go and, like you said, they work at a really, you know, they're not the sous chef, but like one of the prep,
like a line cook, like, or something, like
just
that.
Cutting onions all day long or something, and then like move up, and at some point they'll, you know, maybe be the second in command or an actual chef, but like,
but you gotta work that.
Yeah, but to me, that's where that, and actually, yeah, I would assume for that, the college probably matters, like where they go. Oh, you went and studied in under this chef in this college. Wow, that's, you know, that's prestigious.
Well, as far as, like, I even think that that's kind of changing too, as well, because, like, you know, I think I'm only seeing it from like the commercialized, you know, TV home, you know the cooking channels and stuff like that. They'll do like a, you know, a head-to-head match with someone who's got, like, you know, hey, they're self-taught, and like they know all of the styles, but they probably couldn't tell you exactly what the formal name is of what they do, but they, you know, in terms of their food and style and what they, the passion is in their cooking, is equal to someone who's got the formal education. So in essence, it almost is kind of being like, you know, whatever the route you go is however you are as a person and your learning style and, you know, what you do and how you understand, you know, how you grow and become smarter in the trade or the area you're trying to be an expert in. You know, that happened to me for IT. It's like, I was just really good at learning and figuring out computers. You know, it was just a natural thing of like, oh, well, I took this all apart, I should be able to put this all back together again. But I had the benefit, and we all kind of had the benefit, that we were in a technology that was just brand new. So it didn't, like, there wasn't a standards or processes or like, this is just the way you do it, you know, kind of best practices, because we were inventing it as we went. And so I think the problem now is that, you know, there are best practices, and so that stuff kind of has to be translated, but I don't know if that's like
getting. Well, I think to your point though, the internet has brought us a lot of things, a lot of crap, but a lot of good. And one of the good, I think, is the widespread availability of education. And so like people that are like a weekend cook that like just like to maybe they're, you know, they're sharpening their skills, and at some point they're like, hey, I want to quit my job and I want to go do this for real. And then, you know, and I think that, I mean, probably no more than I, you know, no more real than IT. Like in IT, like you can spin up a cloud lab like that and just have a bunch of boxes in AWS and go play around in a sandbox and try things. And then next thing you know, you're like, oh, well, I have a little bit of AWS skill. Maybe I'm going to go be a cloud, you know, you might need to, you know, get a little bit of training, but at some point you could, you know, go work somewhere, especially if they're new to the cloud. Like if a client's new to the cloud, I'm sure they'd be happy bringing somebody in, or they'd be able to mold somebody. Like whenever I'm talking to clients about who they need to staff their identity security program, like they're all looking for the, I want the person that's been doing it for like 10 years. And I'm like, no, you don't want that guy. First of all, we've only been around since like 99. So, you know, it's like the whole, like, how many CISSPs there are versus like how many jobs there are that need CISSPs. But I always tell them, like, go find a kid out of college that is just willing to learn, not the $170,000 kid, but like the kid that you can pay a little bit lower, but you can mold him, you can train him. And then at some point he's going to be your SME. Yeah. And at some point
you better pay him because if you train him, he will leave because he's got the training and not the money.
Right.
Right. There is a 100%. Reality to that. Like you can start there. You just can't stay there. You have to take care of your employees.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a whole question in and of its own. I mean, like, there's a now trend that system of like being loyal to your company that you're working for because they sort of said your hand is gone. I mean, this day and age. So, I mean, we could get into a whole discussion about that, but
yeah,
but from an education, well, yeah, true. But, you know, but to the education side of it, because remember how like we used to, like, employers used to lure you in with like, hey, if you don't have the formal education, we can use our company
and even see that less and less the training aspect. Like in a lot of companies, that's not really happening. It's put your nose to the grindstone. Here's a what you got put into a raffle for $100 sweatshirt.
Pizza. Yep.
and we'll do a pizza party every couple of weeks just to keep you happy. And then, it's true. It's true. It's they don't, unless you're very boisterous about pushing the company to do that. And then many times, I mean, I work for a very large company and I still had to pull tooth and nail for them to pull out the company card to pay for training. Cause like, oh, just reimburse me. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. They paid for it once they found a card that wasn't declined, but that's funny. Wow. But no, like those days are kind of gone. Unfortunately, like the companies will always sugarcoat the morale. But in reality, especially in an MSP world, everybody's selling. It's selling the service, and we'll sell the service and we'll run really lean to just enough to keep the support, but not enough to be like to really shine in. It usually happens with every large company. You look at the Comcast of the world. You say the word Comcast, it's not like, oh, they're a great company and they love their customers.
What are going to work for?
You know, it's, but they're a $1 billion industry and they get to the point where they bring in so much that the loud, boisterous, bad name really doesn't affect their bottom line. So, but I don't know. I went on a tangent there. We're talking about companies and loyalty. Well, we're talking about companies and loyalty. So it's really, you really need to make a name for yourself and find those niche, find what you're good at in terms of your own makeup and personality in your field. And what differentiates you from others?
Well,
and that usually shines.
That's an interesting kind of point. How many of us went through traditional high school? Did we ever, like, were there many opportunities that you can recall on your own, you know, time that you had either an opportunity to be able to learn something because it was interesting, or to, you know, be able to develop a skill that was, you know, kind of, you know, what we were talking about, the marketable skills that, you know, we use later in our lives? I mean, I only had a couple. I mean, I did have a couple, but it was only because I was put in places that, you know, I had teachers that cared for that. But the traditional overall, you know, high school realm, it was just
I don't
learn it. And
you,
that's
the way. Yeah, you and I were really different because we found what we liked. We found that there was opportunities in those, and we had teachers that were like, go for it. You figure it out and do it, you know? And then, by the way, while you do that, I'll let you run the school. Here's the keys to the building.
Here, go ahead, hack into the mainframe. Yeah, no problem. Alter your grades like Ferris Bueller.
No, we didn't alter grades, but
I almost did.
But I did get pulled out of a lot of classes.
Oh gosh, did I ever. Heck, I didn't even get my high school picture. Like I said, I was busy in the lab.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's really down to drive is what it is.
So what's the take of everybody here? Like, so are you individualized thinking or are you the, because it sounds like there's a little bit of the, because Paul had touched upon the idea of like, well, you need to like having a conversation with Jonathan, you should get education because that's what, you know, dictates for a good job. You know, what are people's stances on that?
I don't know. I think it's especially for, I mean, obviously I have Isabel who's going into it now. Drew's still just coming into her freshman year, so we got some time, but more of just the guidance of like, hey, listen, like Heather and I really try to foster, like, think about what you want to do. Like, we're not, this is not just a time to just go into college. Like, what do you, where's your career? What, and we try to foster those opportunities in terms of with Isabel as to well, what are your likes? What are you really interested in doing? And talking through those things as to, okay, well, if you go this route, this is what you're really looking at. And is it something that you want to pursue in that direction? Or did you really not think about the whole picture and it was just something pretty that you were, caught your flash that, oh, this is the direction I want to go. So we try to be really upfront and honest and be like, hey, listen, a lot of it's going to be on grades. And so focusing in on that and looking at potentials for scholarships as well as alternatives to that. Hey, you can, like I said before, you can go to community college and earn yourself a business degree, which is still viable for what you want to do, or even being able to be your own entrepreneur. I mean, her and Drew have worked on several different successful little businesses that they've put together, right. that kind of gives them that skill set. And I mean, if Drew had the drive from that end, her slime kit business has been, I mean, there's been months where she's brought in almost $800.
Wow.
Putting it away and putting money into the business, but it's just motive. I mean, she's in eighth grade, so she's still trying to get her.
Oh, let's get the first million in sales. Let's go. Daddy wants.
But I mean, there was one time point she almost made $1,700. Wow. So, but great. And Isabel's working now, so she's working at Market Basket, and she sees the time she puts into it, and it's been a great job. But she also sees other jobs that may be a little more beneficial, and she started to reach out to those and trying to get situated in that, and really, she's really kind of just focusing on like, what do I want to do? What do I want to spend this time in doing, and not just I want to go to college and just for the experience, because it's. Nowadays you can't, those days are gone. Yeah. Like going for the experience is not something that you got.
Well,
we force our kids to grow up pretty quickly with the amount of money that they spend.
Well, and I was actually going to ask that question, like, where does that come in? Where does the college experience come in? So maybe you don't go to college for the degree, but is there a part of it where there's something to be experienced there?
I think,
people, like, what's that? You know, is that worth the price of admission?
Yeah. Looking back in the day, it was always, I'm on my own. My parents aren't around me, you know, that kind of experience of being away, you know, but
I felt that way through most of my teenagers, me and my latchkey lifestyle.
Roger that. We always were hanging in your basement. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, yeah. So it's funny because like,
you're only hanging in this basement because you jumped off the top thing and you fell through the floor. And then you're thus hanging in his basement.
We weren't going
to
talk
about it. Sorry, I had to get that out.
So I will tell you, Paul, like, I don't know, man. Like, my college experience was UMass Lowell as a commuter. So I never lived away on campus. And I know that there's something to that experience, right? Like, I used to go hang out with Travis at UNH. To kind of get some of that, some glimpse of that experience. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know. Like, that's a lot of money for an experience you're going to get by paying rent and living in your own place. Yeah. You know, like.
Or painting your parents' house if you don't keep your grades up.
I was just telling somebody that story this week about how my parents hired my friends to come and heckle me.
I don't remember. Oh, no, there was no hiring. We just sat on the lawn and
I just came for the payment. I think it was food involved. That's really all it was. But
well, there's always food involved when you're at my mom's house.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty high cost solution for the quote experience, yeah. unquote. You know?
Yeah.
I guess if I could find a school where I didn't have to pay to go, or I was paying $5,000 a year or $5,000 a semester. But when you start talking about $30,000 a year, you better be coming out with something that's going to pay that back in a decent pace.
I mean, and then talking about the trades too, like I have a friend who went to school for HVAC in plumbing. He got his degree and got certified in HVAC, plumbing, gas, so on and so forth. And now he's making really good money. I mean, he's working hard, but he's making really good money and has multiple opportunities to make more on side jobs and helping others and doing things that. And just giving him the own experience. So there are things to be said about that, where you can get in with a good company and you can make $70,000-$80,000 right off the bat. And give the experience from that standpoint to even branch out on your own in the future. You know, it's like for whatever labor intensive field that may be, whether it's carpentry or construction or whatnot, you know,
I'll throw my two cents in, Paul, with my kids. I mean, Emma got lucky with her college experience because it was an experience, we'll say, for her for basically 1 year. And she'll admit it. I mean, there's no shame in her game with that. But in essence, she learned how to be independent more on a larger scale, being away, you know, in Plymouth. And Plymouth was a good hour and a half, which was probably good enough for her to be from a distance perspective and drive time and stuff. But she came out of it thinking, you know, a lot of the stuff I learned or a lot of stuff that I was with in my teachers and the class experience wasn't really like she felt the same way I did when I was doing my core stuff with college. It was like, I'm tired of this. I'm doing this stuff in the real world consulting while the professors are teaching us all about basic COBOL. I'm like, dude, I'm learning C++ out in the real world. Why are you teaching me COBOL? You know, that whole ordeal. You know, she was doing the same thing in the art world. Like her art teachers were just teaching basic stuff. And she just got to the point where she's like, you know, this is not for me. She came out of it pretty unscathed because COVID helped with a lot of the, you know, government chipping in money and, you know, making that whole process and whatever. So she's coming out of it. But Cody, on the other hand, the only thing I'll amount to that experience, that 7 year experience that I'm going through, I'm in 5 years into it now, is maturity. And again, most boys are, you know, a problem when it comes to that because they don't learn maturity, you know, at different levels or different speeds. And so if Jonathan's better at, you know, growing and more mature and being able to handle like adult experiences, maybe the college experience will become less of a, you know, hey, let's party all the time. And, you know, let's do, you know, more of the, you know, learning and understanding and opportunities and that stuff. Because college does bring that to them because that's their job is to bring those sources in. So you could easily, you know, get to them and, you know, grow in that area. But for Cody, it's, you know, he didn't learn that until like his junior year, which he's in now, that he's, you know, now doing the internships and learning the, you know, the responsibilities and learning how to do business plans and all of those things that, you know, you wish they were learning earlier because that probably would have like ignited the maturity a little bit faster, but, you know, maybe not, I don't know, but he did all the college experience and, you know, suffered because, you know, it was all the glitz and glamour and it's expensive.
Well, and kind of along those lines, one of the things that I do love about, and UMass Lowell may have done this before, but they're heavily, the engineering school is heavily into co-ops now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And co-ops are great because they give you a practical application of what you're learning and they pay you.
Yeah.
So like Ben potentially, you know, some of the co-ops that they were talking about, he works for 6 months and he makes enough to pay for a semester or a semester and a half or two semesters. Yeah. Like,
giving you
that's
that
pretty darn spectacular. Yeah. And he gets experience in the space that, in the field that he's in. So, like, you know, there's a lot of power in that because you come out not just a student. You come out right. with a resume of things that you've done and companies that you've worked for. And potentially, you, if you've done a good job for those companies, you probably have a job.
Right.
You know, like there's a lot of power in that. And so I think as part of the experience, like that would be one thing I would look for.
Yeah.
You know, right. that, there's a lot of value in that. If you're going to look like, I mean, I get the idea of like this unlimited freedom conversation, but I don't feel like any of us are holding our kids in the clink. You know, like our kids tend to have a decent amount of freedom already and a decent amount of independence because we trust them most of the time. Mm-hmm. As much as you ever trust your kids, right? Yes. Like there's always that. I'm expecting that. I'm expecting Ben to come home and say, I did something stupid occasionally. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I'm even expecting Gracie, who's a pretty mature individual, to come home and say, I did something stupid occasionally. But that's just part of growing up, you know? So I think that there's a lot of ways to look at that. But I also, you know, if you were asking, I feel like if one of my kids said, listen, I want to be an electrician or I want to be a plumber, like I don't know that I would want to be a plumber. But, man, there's a lot of opportunity in that space. I don't need them to go to college if they're feeling like they need to, if they're feeling like they really want to go a different direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or just, you know, like even the other side that I had to come grips with, my daughter's great in art. I mean, she's got a good skill set in being able to manage people and resources and that type of stuff and being able to organize. But, you know, when she was like, oh, I want to be an art major, I'm like, oh, you're going to be living with me forever. But I knew on the other hand, if I let that go, what her skills were as a person and who she was and who she was created to be and whatnot, that those would be way bigger than whether or not she was an art major or an English lit major. I mean, I used to work for an IT company, and Adam, you used to work with us in that same company, Cambridge Computer, a long time ago.
Yep.
Two owners were history majors and a Latin major. I mean, running a company. So, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, what you go in for is not really what you end up doing.
Yep. So when you said that, did you say, I don't feel the need to explain my art to you, Dad?
No, I didn't get a chance to use that line yet. I'm working
okay on there, Picasso.
I'm trying to find that opportunity.
Just don't be Van Gogh. We like ears.
Yeah, but in the field that I did, there was within the business side, there was something. We did a lot of case studies, so we went out and looked at companies,
kind of fun.
Looked at operations, and had to do physical presentations on that. And then plus that I worked in the field that I was going into. I was already managing a network and operations and departments at that point. So
I don't know. Would school classify that as managing a network? You were just really kind of occupying parking spaces, but.
No, I had a lot of freedom in parking, let me tell you.
No, he was running track.
No. In the case. In the hallways, maybe.
That's short right. Park. I meant running from track.
Running from track. Making right, money.
We should wrap this up somehow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that this is where we thought we'd start the conversation, thought we'd get to when we started the conversation, but I do feel like it's pretty valuable. And I feel like it's important to think about, you know, to have the conversation, because all of us are in places where our kids are making these decisions or have made these decisions, will continue making these decisions. And it's good to have some ideas on what a good approach is. And I think gathering good counsel from wise people is valuable.
Yeah.
So hopefully for you guys listening at home, this is this has been a helpful podcast. You know, we love talking about this stuff. It's so funny because we get on an hour before we record the show and we talk about this stuff. So apparently we really like just talking.
Yep.
And hopefully you guys are getting something out of it. And we would love to hear from you on our Discord channel, but you can always email us at feedback
at forefatherspodcast.com.
feedback at forefatherspodcast.com.
ChatGPT stole my job.
Yeah, and ChatGPT did steal my job. But I want to thank you guys again for listening to us. Like I said, come chat with us on the Discord server, send us email feedback, and don't forget to subscribe. And if you put anything on the Discord server, we'll bring it up in the next episode. Thanks a lot. Have a great day, and We hope that you're having fun figuring out how to educate your children, or yourselves for that matter.
Oh, and thanks for listening to the Forefathers Podcast, where we talk about faith, fatherhood, and other F words. If you want to learn more, head over to our website at the4fatherspodcast.com. If you'd like to help our show, make sure you give us a review on iTunes or in the podcast app of your choice. Those reviews help others find our show. And if you have any other questions or comments, you can send those to feedback@4fatherspodcast.com.